with step one, part two.
Hi, everyone. My name's Rebecca, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everyone, and I meet the group Conscience, having gone through the steps with the Big Book Step Study sponsors, meetings just like this, and with the help of a God of my understanding. I practice step 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability on a daily basis. And I want to thank you, Jameson, for asking me to speak for a lot of reasons. This is the fellowship part of it. I tend to be a pretty quiet person, and I am new to this community. I got sober in Massachusetts. I did the Big Book Step Study process at the Way Out Big Book Step Study meeting that meets on Sundays from 9 to 10. So if you're ever in Massachusetts on a Sunday between 9 and 10, it's an hour meeting, so that's always good. And it's a Big Book Step Study meeting. Let's see. I'll tell you in a general way what my drinking career was like. I started drinking wholeheartedly when I was 13. My first drink of choice was Boone's Farm. Yes. If those of you who may know it, some of you may not know it, I have no idea if it's still around. I had all the jackpots that alcoholic drinking gives any one person. I gave up school, I gave up a marriage, I gave up my self-respect, my dignity, all of those things. I lost tangible things. I gave away tangible things and intangible things. But what my life is like now is not like that. And I really attribute it to the fact that I've done these steps as they are laid out in the Big Book. I had had the privilege to go to other meetings of AA, and I continue to do that. AA in many ways saved my life throughout. What I have found that by doing the steps in the Big Book manner, I dig deeper into my emotional sobriety in a way that I never was able to doing steps in any other method. It saved my life, it saved my marriage, it saved my career, and it made me the person I wanted to become. And that's why I continue to come to meetings like this when I have the privilege of working with other women. As their sponsor, this is the only way that I do the steps with them. But it takes time, you know. It takes time. So the first part we talked about last week was we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. That part took me a really long time to master. I have been sober 23 years now. I've been through the Big Book Step Study process over a decade at this point in time. And I'm glad to say that the obsession, it's not even the thought anymore. You know what I mean? I want to escape at times, but that's why they have TV. or Panda Pop, actually. Now it's the new addiction for me. But so, you know, when Jameson asked me to talk about the second half of step two, which is what More About Alcoholism is about, is, you know, when I went through the steps with my Big Book Step Study sponsor, she asked me to read the book, circle words, look them up in the dictionary. Merriam-Webster became a good friend of mine. I then read these chapters with her. And I had to revisit, even though I had an extended period of time of not drinking, the unmanageability of my life, both being sober and also drinking. And so, like, the word unmanageable, it's difficult or impossible to control, right? I don't know about anybody else in this room, but boy, let's just talk about my car. That's a great example. So she said, so how did you do with your car? I thought I did pretty good. I got a car that I couldn't afford. I used to live in an area that you had to park it and you had to be a resident, so you had to have a resident sticker. I thought I really didn't have to do that. So I ended up getting over $600 worth of tickets that I didn't think I really needed to pay, right? I was supposed to move my car every now and then, you know, every now and then, right? And then one time I was driving from, like, I think North Carolina up back to Massachusetts, and I got a speeding ticket that I also didn't think I had to pay. And so when I went to go get my license renewed, they mentioned to me the fact that my license had been suspended. How did I get there? And the first thing I said is, oh, I took a cab. You know, great liar. So that's just my car. That's a really tangible thing. Now, the inside stuff that was unmanageable was my fear of what other people thought of me, the terror of financial insecurity, right? Being able to go to a job that I thought I was a fraud at. You know, they would have meetings, and I'd be sure that they were talking about me behind closed doors. Then, you know, they're not talking anything about me. You know, they were talking about stuff that had nothing to do with me. So the unmanageability in my life manifested in a lot of different ways. And the car is just like the easy pickings, right? I had a marriage that I had no business getting married to this poor man. You know, really. And I had to apologize to him, like, really, man, I'm sorry. I had no business trying to be a wife to you or anybody else at that point in time. So I like this chapter when it talks about the unmanageability. And this chapter, I mean, it covers so many different things. It introduces that whole concept of what a real alcoholic is. So part of that unmanageability in my thinking was people would say, I'm a real alcoholic. I'm like, what do you mean you're a real alcoholic? I'm a real alcoholic, you know, like it was a competition. And that's that kind of crazy thinking. Now when I'm in a room, if somebody says they're a real alcoholic, I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. You know, so am I. You know, that's not like an issue at this point in time. And also in here, when they talk about, they begin to define in here what an alcoholic is, and it's on page 34, where they define what an alcoholic is. And they do numerous times in this book, which is helpful because I can forget really easily, and that's why I continue to come to meetings to this day. On page 34, an alcoholic is the utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or wish. I can't tell you how many times I tried quitting. I tried quitting 1,000 times, over and over. And I'd wake up again, you know, when they talk about in the very beginning of this chapter, which is another part of it that I really liked, where they talk about the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Like, some of the stuff I used to do when I was drinking is just like, I wouldn't even consider it nowadays, right? That's how my life has changed. I wouldn't even consider it. And that, to me, is one of the wishes that I had where I feel my life has become manageable, is that I want to leave the world a better place, right? I have fewer years ahead of me than I have, you know, than I have behind me, so to speak, or whatever that saying is. And honestly, that's really all I wanted to do, is figure out how to be a human being on the planet and try to leave it a better place. And so I really didn't know what I didn't know until I started really doing the work at a deeper level, and that's what doing the steps through the book has given me. A couple of other things that I don't know about anybody else in this room, is, you know, they have four stories about how self-knowledge avails us nothing, right? Like, I knew for a long time my life was out of control. Like, I just knew it. And I came in here just so I could learn how to drink and get everybody off my back. So the first person they talk about is that he knew that he had a problem with booze like I did, but he had the ability to stop for a long period of time. I didn't have that ability. I couldn't stop for a long period of time. Like, I thought, like, 2 weeks was good. And then Jim, who owned a car dealership, you know, he lost his car dealership because he was drinking. He had a few words with his boss, but he came on a Tuesday. And I'm thinking, what was he doing on Monday? Did he not have to work Monday through Friday? I'm sure he had a few words with his boss. And the good idea is to have a drink or have milk with whiskey. And I thought, oh, who would drink milk with whiskey? Well, Black Russians or White Russians, whatever they are, right? So no problem. I would drink mostly anything. And then you have Fred. You know, Fred had a great day. You know, he said it. He had a great day. It was not a problem. And what happens, he has that strange mental twist. Ooh, maybe I'll just go into the bar and just have one. And that's the difference between myself and a normal person who doesn't have a problem with alcoholism. That's where it centers in my mind. It will tell me over and over again that it's an okay thing to do, is to have a drink, when I know full well it will kill me. And the one thing that I feel extraordinarily fortunate about is that, you know, the whole stories that I gave about the car, Never mind the times I drove drunk and I didn't kill somebody. That's a miracle. Because I used to think that I could drink and drive. And I thought I was a better driver. And I wasn't somebody who... I got my license when I was 23, so figure that one out. That was a... That's how my... What do they call it? Our every abnormal drinker, you know, it is... it's something that we can rationalize the irrational. You know, and they introduce in this chapter the thing, the idea about our insanity and how we are bodily and mentally different from other people. And where my life is now, I know that I'm bodily and mentally different than other people, and what I have to do is keep coming to the halls, no matter if I want to or not. That's not a criteria. I found that doing the steps as they're laid out in the big book, I believe that it was a divine gift given to alcoholics to do the steps in the manner that they're laid out in this way. It is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And it takes work. And it's like with work, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I've never gotten paid from work just by being there a day. They don't say, Rebecca, let me give you a month's pay because you showed up, you know, for one day of the month. I have to, like, show up the whole month before I get paid. And similarly, I find with AA that I have to continually show up. If I'm ever bored in AA, it's my own, that's my doing. That's my doing. You know, I read this, had the privilege of reading this chapter in depth after I was asked to speak, and I didn't think that I would... get any more out of it, but as I've always learned in AA, that I got more out of it than I realized. And so with that, I'm going to end because my timer went off, and I'd rather hear other people speak at this point. So thank you. Thank you.